Bible, open it with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. What an honor it is for me to be back, and I thank the Lord for the gracious invitation that Brother Steve's given me, and I thank the Lord for what's been said so far. My, wasn't that good preaching by Dr. Bagwell, amen? I told Brother Steve coming up the road, I thought, my goodness, I said, by the time Dr. Bagwell gets done preaching, it'll be like I'm giving a Sunday school lesson to a bunch of junior boys, amen? I appreciate Brother Bagwell. He preached for us back in March and preached out of Acts about being filled with the Holy Ghost, probably the best I've ever heard. And I tell you what, that helped me that night, Brother Mike, and I appreciate it. And man, what a good report we've had so far of the meeting, how God's blessed. I tell you, that's what we need in this hour, Holy Ghost meeting, amen? No, there is no replacement for the power of God and the moving of the Holy Ghost. And thank God there's still places where it's in order and it's desired. And I thank the Lord for it. Matthew chapter number 11. I know it's hot. Amen. I told Brother Chris ride with me. I said, if I wasn't preaching, I wouldn't have a coat on. Say amen. But praise God for it. You help me and I'll try to preach fast. You listen fast. Let's stand together. Stretch your legs. Brother Jordan, choir. Wonderful. Wonderful choir singing. Aren't you glad Jesus saves? Greatest news I ever heard in my life was the day I heard that Jesus saves, praise God, and I thank the Lord for it. Matthew chapter number 11, the Bible said, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out to see? For to see a man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You can be seated. I want to turn your attention to verse number 4 tonight, where I'll take my text, and you pray that God, the Holy Ghost, will help me. But the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. I want to look right down into that verse in the middle where the Bible said, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Can I tell you, neighbor, of the appearance of John the Baptist on the pages of the Word of God and on the scene of our biblical day was a very significant event on the calendar of the plan of God Almighty. May I say, when John walked upon the scene of the Word of God, it signaled a monumental change that was taking place in the plan of God. The book of Luke said that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. May I say, John coming on the face of the Word of God was a herald of a new day. John, listen, it was about to become the shadow of the Old Testament, was about to become substance of the new. May I say, prophecy of the Old Testament was about to become the fulfillment of the New Testament. Thank God we were switching mountaintops.
We had been on the top of Mount Sinai for the pages of the Old Testament, friend. But now we're about to walk to the top, no longer of Mount Sinai and the law of God Almighty, but we're about to walk up the pages or walk up the mountainside of Mount Calvary, friend. I mean, neighbor, you can believe it. Thank God, I don't know about you, but I'm glad, thank God, I'm not living in the days of the law, but I'm glad that I'm living in the day of the good grace of the God Almighty. Amen. I mean, we left Mount Sinai. We make our way to the Mount of Transfiguration, where God separates Peter, James, and John. And then the Lord is transcended upon that mountain, transfigured. And what are they doing? All of a sudden there, what it is, there's Mount Sinai, and there's Mount Carmel, on top of the Mount of Transfiguration. But thank God they were talking about another mountain. They were talking about a mountain that was about to take place, that was going to change all of mankind by the glory of God Almighty, friend. I'm glad, thank God, when you and I came, there wasn't a bullock that had to be sacrificed. I'm glad there was not a hoop that had to be jumped through. But thank God, I'm glad when we came, when I came as a 13-year-old boy in 1987, I'm glad, thank God, my debt had been paid, the blood had been shed. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not living off two tablets of stone, but I'm glad, thank God, I'm living off a riven side and a nail-pierced hand and a thorn-pierced brow. I'm glad, thank God, we're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour. Amen. Can I tell you, John the Baptist showed up in a dark hour. Herod, the Bible said in Mark 2, there in Matthew 2, 1, that he and Jesus came in the days of Herod. Herod was a bloody man. He killed his friends. He killed his enemies. He even had his family executed when they felt like he stood in his way. But the crowning part of Herod's bloody life is after the wise men visited Bethlehem. Neighbor, he had all those children of 2 years and younger killed, trying to stamp out Christ. Trying to kill the Lord Jesus. But can I give you can I just say a little good news? The devil's been trying to stamp out the Lord Jesus since Genesis chapter number 3. And may I say, thank God, he ain't been successful yet. He's not going to be successful today, and he's not going to be successful tomorrow. You say, preacher, we're living in dark hours. And Miss Shelby, we are living in dark days. I believe we're seeing things come to pass that my preachers I never thought they'd ever see come to America, but I've got good news. It may be dark, but there's not enough darkness to put out the light. Can I say, lift up your head, child of God, for our redemption draweth nigh. Listen to me, he's coming, and the liberals cannot do anything about it, and the contemporaries cannot do anything about it, and the atheists cannot do anything about it. But thank God, he is the light of the world. And he's coming again. May I say, child of God, listen to me. Listen, we can shine in this hour. God's got a work for us to do. If there wasn't a work, he would have raptured us out of here. But can I say, praise God, many times in the darkest of hours, God begins to put his goodness and his grace and the power of God on display to a lost and dying world. May I say, thank God, he's not bound by circumstance. He's not bound by your burden. He's not bound by your difficulty. Thank God, friend. He's not bound by the darkness in your life. I'm glad God has still got the ability to do a mighty work in this hour. Amen. Amen. This ain't a Sunday school boy we're talking about. This ain't a little bus kid that's his first visit to the church that we're reading about in Matthew chapter number 11. This is one of the greatest, according to the Lord Jesus. There'd never been born a greater man. Listen, this side of heaven, that John the Baptist. I mean, man, what kind of man? Well, think about the esteemed position. I mean, maybe he was the forerunner, Brother Smeltzer. He was the forerunner of God Almighty. Amen. I mean, man, God could have picked anybody to go before him. But no, what did he do? He went out into the wilderness and filled John the Baptist with the Holy Ghost. And neighbor, he came to be the forerunner of the Son of God. And may I say, if you're going to understand the life of John the Baptist, you're going to have to understand the relationship that John has with the Lord Jesus. John was the forerunner of God Almighty. He had been commissioned to come and to preach and to draw the nation of Israel, let them know of their need and their sin. But can I tell you, John knew that those who rejected him would one day reject the Lord Jesus. May I say, friend, the principle of the New Testament is clear. No John, no Jesus. The message of John was a message of repentance, and the message of Jesus was a message of a rebirth. And may I say, in 2016, no John, there'll be no Jesus. If there'll be no repentance, there'll be no rebirth. But what a position that God gave John the Baptist, that he was able to come and pave the way and be the man of God to introduce the blessed Lamb of God to a world. He had an esteemed position. I think about this man, what an eternal proclamation that he made. I like what the Bible said, Brother Taylor. It said in that day, John came preaching. He came preaching. I'm still convinced in this hour, Brother Dagenhart, that the greatest gift that God has given to mankind outside the Lord Jesus, outside the Word of God, is the Holy Ghost anointed man of God that he's given to proclaim the blessed pages of the Word of God. I thought about riding up the road today. I've been in church all my life. For 42 years I've been in the house of God, and I can remember some messages that have been preached. Brother Bagwell, I remember you preaching on the four hallelujahs over at Brother Dean's, and man, what a time we had. Brother Keith, I remember when you preached that he gave us a nail in the holy place. Brother Dagan, I remember you preached just a few years ago on that prayer of the Father in Luke chapter number 15, and God, how you helped us in those days. I mean, man, I can remember some messages, but there's not many messages that have been preached in the last 2,000 years that somebody's going to remember. But can I say, before the week's out, somebody will quote the statement that John the Baptist made in John chapter number 1. The Bible said, in the beginning was the God, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But can I tell you, if all we had was John 1:1, we'd all died and went to hell. But thank God there was a verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, even the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But thank God that wasn't enough. And looking down that dusty road, he looked up and saw the Lamb of God, and he made one of the greatest statements ever to roll off the lips of mankind. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." I tell you what, somebody listen, I'll preach that all over the place, all over the world this week. Somebody we'll quote John 1:29. They won't anybody remember anything I preached 2,000 years ago. But I wonder how many times, Brother Fox, through the years you've quoted and made that eternal proclamation. I'm glad it wasn't, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of a church, or the sin of a race, or the sin of a country." But blessed be God, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. It's amazing. I don't believe God picked this time to make that statement. The Passover time was fastly approaching. The writers tell me they could have heard the bleating of those Passover lambs being led through the sheep gate. But all of a sudden, praise God, it wasn't a Passover lamb that was riding into town. But John made that eternal proclamation about the Passover lamb. Amen. And all of a sudden, God shifted the focus off those lambs and put it on the Lamb. And can I tell you, it was amazing that John didn't introduce him as the Christ of God, or the Son of God, or the Word of God, or the dearly beloved of God. But neighbor, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God Do you realize he's only called a lamb twice in the Old Testament, twice in the Gospels, once in the epistles? But can I tell you, when you make your way to the book of the Revelation, 28 times you find the word the lamb. Can I tell you, thank God, you say, who was worthy to open the book and to loosen the seals? Honey, it was the Lamb of God. I say, glory to the Lamb. I say, worthy is the Lamb. I say, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain. Thank God he's the Lamb of God. That great question of the Old Testament, he said, where is the Lamb? And Abraham said, God shall provide himself a lamb. But I'm glad there was a New Testament answer to that Old Testament question. It was that God will provide himself. He said, but behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What a proclamation. He had an esteemed position. But what about his excellent privilege? Brother Rule, how many baptisms you think you've had through the years? How many you think? 200? Preacher, I've had a few baptisms the last 15 years. But I wonder if I've ever had one where the Trinity showed up. Matthew chapter 3, John said he needed to be baptized. Christ said, no, you've got to baptize me. And when he came out of that Jordan water, what did he say? There was a voice that came out of heaven that said, this is my dearly beloved son. He that is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. There was a voice coming from heaven. Thank God he was holding the Son of God in his hand. And the Holy Ghost descended upon his shoulder like in the form of a dove, friend. I mean, I've been in some good services, but I don't know if I could ever heard a voice from heaven and seen him in a tangible way like that. But what a privilege that John the Baptist had after those 33 years. And they said that voice was God giving his approval to everything that had been done for the 33 years before. But honey, when that dove landed on the shoulder of the Son of God, he was anointing him for the work to be done. I'm glad, thank God, there still is anointing power in 2016 to get the work of God done in this hour. Trying to lay the groundwork that this ain't just some starter Christian. This is one of the best that the Bible has to offer. But I'm afraid in Matthew 11, we're not seeing him at his best. Brother Bagwell, I'm glad that we've got an honest Bible. If we didn't have an honest Bible, Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 through 11 would not be in the Scripture. There's several of those passages in the Old Testament. We'd have never peeked into the failures of the people of God all the way through the Bible, but thank God for an honest Bible. You say, why do you thank God for an honest Bible? Because when I find myself flat on my face and I've disappointed and broken the heart of God, I'm glad that I can look into the pages and realize I'm not the only one that's ever come up short. I'm not the only one that's grieved the heart of God. But can I tell you, thank God that even the greatest that ever donned shoe leather ever made a proclamation about the Son of God, they had difficult hours. Amen. But here's the answer. He said, go, show John again. And for just a few minutes, I want to preach on this thought. Touch me again, Lord. That's what I need. I wonder how many preachers that I'm preaching to, you've come from your church, and your heart's broken, and you're wondering what you're going to go home and do. There'll be men of God that come to this meeting, if they don't get help, they'll resign in a month. There'll be teenagers that come into this meeting, if they don't, God doesn't do something for them, they'll be out chasing the world within 6 months. They don't have that intention. They just got to a place where something, the Bible said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I mean, man, we've got to a place we thought God ought to answer this way. God should have did it this way. Oh, but neighbor, he didn't ask our permission, didn't ask how we ought to do it. And he's doing it his way. And now our heart's broken and doubt is overtaking us. And friend, what do we need? We don't need a new work. Oh, we don't need to go to God something to do something new. All he needs to do is remind us and stir an old work that he's already done.
You told me years ago, Brother Keith, that word revive means to breathe again. We're going through this day in which we live. Everybody's looking for a new thing, a new thing. The man of God told me years ago, if it's new, it ain't true. And if it's true, it ain't new. Everybody, we're trying. We put so much. Now, y'all pray for me. Maybe I'm the only one like this. Y'all pray for me. Maybe I'm the only one that wants to get that new nugget that nobody's preached, but it becomes very clear very quickly that somebody's preached it before I have. Amen? I mean, man, I remember preaching at Brother Soup's years ago in the tent. Old Brother Bagwell was a preaching with us, and old Brother Bagwell, he'll bring his books to church, and he'll read. And I thought, dear God, let me have enough to say that Brother Bagwell will listen to me preach. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I was like, God, help him not to have to study while I'm preaching. Help me to have something to say. Are you listening? But it didn't take long in the ministry to find out I'm not going to preach anything new. And there's a whole lot of Christians. There's probably plenty sitting under this tabernacle tonight. You're killing yourself trying to do something new, trying to God to do something new in your heart when all he needs to do is breathe and revive that old thing that he's already done. How long, choir member, has it been since God walked up into the choir and breathed on the work that he did in you? All of those, can I tell you, if God ever digs a well in your life, honey, it'll never run dry. It may get stopped up. It may get a little dirty, but thank God you'll never have to dig another well. Amen. Touch me again. How long have you been preaching, Brother Dagenhart? 42 years. I wonder how many agains there have been in them 42 years. Brother Bagwell, how long you been preaching? 53 years. I wonder how many, over the last 53 years, how many agains there have been. Brother Tom, how many years? 46. I'd say there's at least been one or two agains. How about it, preacher? How many agains? 40 years. Been one or two agains, hasn't it? Man, I want to preach something to swing off the chandeliers, but God burned me with this. Amen. I want you to shout. I want you to rejoice. But can I tell you, if he'll do some agains in our heart tonight, hey, you won't have to worry about the rejoicing. You won't have to worry. Hey, I want you to go back to the house of God where you belong, and God to give you an again in the Sunday school room. God give you an again in the choir. God give you again in the pulpit. God will give you again home, daddy, in the prayer closet. God will give you again at the family altar. He said, go show John again. I give you three things and I'm done. I won't even preach them. I'll just give them to you. Matter of fact, Brother Jordan, just come back to the piano. I'll give them to you quickly. I really want to get to one statement. Chapter number 11, verse number 2. The Bible said he was in prison. Go show John again. Can I tell you something? If you're not careful, you'll find yourself in a place that'll break you. You'll find yourself in a place that'll break you. I don't know about you, Brother Dagenhart, but as I go week in and week out and week in, I'm not just seeing people in the pews broken, but I'm witnessing and I'm speaking to and I'm trying to encourage a lot of men of God that are broken. Yes, amen?
Man, they've labored and labored like the preacher talked about. They've labored and they plowed and they plowed and they've labored and they labored, and looks like they feel like they're trapped in a dungeon with nowhere to go. It's been a long time since anybody got happy. It's been a long time since there was liberty to preach. It's been a long time since there was liberty to sing. Oh, there's been a long time since there was liberty to rejoice. And they've got in a place that's broken. A place that's broken. Where are you at? Where are you at? See, there was a dungeon that was overwhelming him. He was underneath that mattress, a palace in that deep dungeon, there on the east side of the Dead Sea in a hot, dry place, one of the lowest places on earth. And now he's cast into the dungeon. Listen, this ain't some little trailer park boy. This ain't some guy from the wrong side of town. This was the greatest man of God living before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in prison.
Amen. He's in a dungeon. And I believe he can say to himself, if he's the king, if he's really the king, why am I in prison? Can I tell you, neighbor, just because you're in the dark now doesn't mean you're always going to be in the dark. Amen? The other day, Brother Keith, probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I had to take my little mother to the nursing home. My dad was so brokenhearted he couldn't go. My sister was so brokenhearted she couldn't go. And I had to take my little mother and leave her. I walked in her room before we left, and I just stood there and cried. When it really gets on you when you think she's leaving the house for the last time. And we rolled up through the country where she was born and where we live and where she got saved. I pulled up in the church parking lot where she got saved. I said, "Mama, do you remember what happened here?" She just looked and looked. I said, "Mama, that's where you got saved all those years ago." We took her and we got her checked in, and my wife and I walked out of the home and we were weeping. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Honey, I guess this is what we meant 21 years ago when we said, for better or worse." But you know, not long before we took her, she stood up in church one morning. It was on. And she got up, and this is what I remember now. Last time I heard her testify, she stood up. I saw her stand up. And I could tell when she stood up, the thought left her mind, and she stood there for a minute. And Brother Hale, she said, "When I could not come to where he was, he came to me." And she started to sit down and she stood back up and she said, "And he's just been here ever since." And may I say, she may not can remember and she may not can take me back anymore, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven that still remembers, friend. And listen to me, life happens and burdens happen and sicknesses happen. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself in a dark dungeon. Can I say, if you're in the darkness now, just hold on. We came tonight, the sun was shining. We came this evening, the sun was high in the sky. But now look, there's no sun out there. But does that mean the sun's gone out of business? God forbid. Just because there's no sun shining right now does not indicate the sun's out of business. Honey, just hold on. Your life may be upside down right now. But God, give God about 12 hours and he'll turn it right side back up again. And he'll hang the sun in your heart again. There was a dungeon that was overwhelming him. He said, "Go ask him." go ask him if he's the Christ, or do we seek another? Not only was there a dungeon that was overwhelming him, there was a doubt that was overtaking him. Come here, Brother Taylor. Come help me, Brother Steve. But Taylor, this is your man of God. Am I right? Come up here with me. I wonder if Sunday rolled around and he called you in his office and said, Brother Taylor, I know I've been preaching all these years, but I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go find the Lord and ask him if he's really the one. Can you imagine what that must have done to the hearts of the disciples, John's disciples, when they saw their hero, their man of God, the giant of their life, say, go ask him. Can I tell you something, neighbor? You don't doubt in the dark what God showed you in the light. Amen. You don't believe your doubts, and you don't doubt your beliefs. Amen. Can I tell you something, mom and dad, if some of us don't get some help, preacher, there's somebody looking at your life. There's somebody looking at your family. There's somebody looking to you for leadership. And neighbor, if they're seeing that doubt that's in you, where are they going? He said, Lord, if you're the King of glory, if you can do all these miracles, why am I still in jail? And some of you are sitting here tonight and you say, Lord, I've been in this dungeon. I've been in this darkness for month upon month and year upon year. Lord, why am I still here? He had been preaching that the Lord was going to burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire, but he looks around and he's still in jail. Some of you are looking around. Some of you have seen people rejoice this week already, but you've been unable to rejoice yet. You're still in a dungeon. What about this? Look at verse number 1. Thank you, fellas. Not only a dungeon that's overwhelming him, not over a doubt that's overtaking him. What about that distance that's overbearing him? Look what verse 1 said. He departed. Brother Keith, Jesus left town and didn't even go visit the prison where the greatest preacher he had was in jail. And some of you are sitting here thinking, it's been a long time since I felt him near me. Now, many of us wouldn't admit that. There's a lot of preachers in here, we wouldn't admit that. But there's times we get in the pulpit where it feels like God's 100 miles away. What about that God? Jesus left town. John the Baptist in prison and didn't go to see him. No wonder he's doubting. You know what military men do? We got a lot of young preachers that are running around killing themselves trying to get the next step, next step, next step. You know what military men do? They operate on the last orders they got until they get some new ones. Why don't you enjoy the position? I think the 8 years I spent as a youth pastor, I wished them away. Wishing I could be the pastor. Hoping one day I could make. And now I just sort of wish I could go back. Lead the youth choir. Teach the youth Sunday school class. Help the preacher. I didn't realize how good I had it. What dungeon or what place are you in that's breaking you? Number 2, place to break you. But then look at verse, I believe it's verse 5. There's a proof to bless you. He said, go show John again. Let me borrow a Bible. Can I borrow your Bible? Verse 5, notice what he said. Go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. You say, why is that important? That's prophetic proof. That's Isaiah 35. That was the proof that said he really is who he said he was. And God gave us a book full of truth to convince us who he said he was. But I'm glad it didn't stop there. The book of Luke, the Luke account of this story said in that same hour. Brother Bagwell, help me in verse 4, verse 5, and read that verse to me. The blind, what's the next word? The blind?
Receive.
Let's remember that, receive. And the lame?
Walk.
And the
lepers are cleansed.
are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel. What tense are those verbs in? Present. Are. The deaf hear. The gospel, the poor have. I'm glad I don't have to go to Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John. I'm glad I don't have to go to Deuteronomy, or Exodus, or Genesis, or Leviticus. But I'm glad, thank God, I can go back to last week and yesterday and the day before. I'm glad there's not just prophetic proof. I'm glad there's some present proof. He's doing it right now. Aren't you glad that he just didn't do it for that generation and that generation, but it's available to our generation? This is the statement I've been trying to make all night. There's proof to bless you. There's a place it'll break you. But number three, notice verse 11. There's a perspective to build you. Here's one of the greatest Christians of the Word of God. Maybe I'm the only one preacher. Sometimes I'll preach a message to make one statement, and maybe this is it. It amazes me, Brother Bagwell, when John the Baptist was saying the very worst about Christ, Jesus was saying the very best about him. Notice what he said in verse 11. What does that say, Brother Bagwell? Among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What about, son, he just made the worst statement that he had probably ever made in his life. Is he really the one? Is he really the one? And the Lord said, that's the best one that's ever been born of a woman.
Amen.
And I wonder why doubt's overtaken us and that dungeon's overwhelming us, and we've even put into words our doubt and our displeasure and our disgruntledness. And while we're saying the worst about him, I wonder if we could hear what he's saying about us tonight. He might just very well be saying the very best he's ever said about you and I. You say, preacher, what are you saying? He said, go show John again. Again. Just go show me. Can I tell you what we do? We spend most of our time lamenting the five things that God's not done in our life. And we forget the 5,000 things that he's already done. We focus in on the three or four needs that we really have, and we shun the blessings that he's put in our heart. What are you saying, preacher? I wonder how different it would be if we went home. Can I tell you something? John was honest about where he was. Had John asked the Lord Jesus a dishonest question, I don't believe the Lord Jesus would have answered him. But John was honest. He was honest about where he was. And let me tell you something. God never required any of us to wear a Superman shirt on and act like we were super Christians. He knows how frail and weak we are. It'd be a blessing if some of us would just take that cloak off that we've got hidden. And we want everybody to think we're so strong and unhurtable and powerful and never have a trouble. While that whole time that darkness is dominating our life and that doubt is choking the joy out of our Christian life, it might be a real blessing if some of us would walk down to an altar and say, Lord, are you really the one? Or do I seek another? And you might be You know what? Moses, he's in that cliff to the rock. Moses is in that cliff to the rock. The Lord touched him in that cliff to the rock. He said, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. He said, Moses, nobody's ever seen my glory. Hey, Brother Daghart, bring your family right over here and help me for just a minute when y'all get done. Now, y'all don't believe what he said? Nobody's seen my glory and lived. Now, you can believe what you want to, but I believe on top of Mount Pisgah, he said, Moses, you still want to see my glory? And I believe he got to see what he'd been looking for. What happened when Moses was in that cliff of the rock? What happened? Well, he tucked him in there. He tucked him in there. He said these words. Josh, y'all don't go nowhere. Y'all come right here. I want you to help me with your dad in just a second. Preacher, come help me just a minute. Stay right here, sister. He took Moses over there and tucked him in the rock. He tucked him in the rock. He said, now you can't see my glory. He said, but I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass by. You stay right there in the rock. He says, look at here, preacher. That was your boy that testified in the Holy Ghost a little while ago and sung. Power of God, and his wife sang just a few moments ago. Let me just get a good look at my goodness. Just get a good look at my goodness. You remember when you used to pray for him before he got saved? And man, all you wanted to do was to serve God. And look at that goodness. Look at that goodness. Sister Daghart, don't go nowhere. Come on. You come back. He said, you know what? You really wanted somebody to serve God with him. You didn't raise him. You didn't just raise him to go out after some hellcat somewhere, somebody to ruin his life. But look, that's just a little bit more, my goodness. That's just, I just want to remind you of my goodness. If you've ever wondered what the goodness of God felt like, that's what it feels like. Outside of God saving me, that's the greatest thing he ever gave me. Come here, Brother Jordan. Miss Shelby, can you play that piano for just a minute? Let me let a little more goodness pass by. That baby came along and got a love for the things of God. Serves with you. Serves you. A lot of things may not be right. He said, but let me show you some goodness. I mean, there's men that I preach for and you preach for that would give everything they've got to have their children serve God. The ministry may never be what you dreamed it is, but look at that goodness. He calls his goodness, Brother Jordan. You standing in front of that choir, that harmony, that was the goodness of God. It is the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. Thank God he's been good. Hey, we don't need the glory of God. What is his glory? It is the goodness of God Almighty that makes him good. And when it gets hard, you know, you'd think after so many years that maybe the ministry would get a little easier. But I think the hell gets worse and the people's lives get more difficult. Don't ever let it forget the goodness. And there's a whole lot more little goodness over there that God's going to save just like he saved them. Just sit there and look at your goodness for a minute. Hey, Brother Bagwell, everybody okay? I didn't come to preach this, but I didn't come not to preach it either. Come here, Brother Bagwell. God's man for many years. stood by a faithful wife, and she went to heaven. You might have thought, Lord, what am I going to do now? Then God had a little bit more goodness for you. He said, I'm not going to make you finish alone. And maybe you get tired, and maybe the road gets long, and the motels get old. He said, but just let me remind you of some goodness. Come here, preacher. Roll yourself, drive yourself up here. Come here, Miss Brenda. I love you. Well, Chris, I spent my last weekend before I took the church. I spent it with Brother Keith. He said, son, just preach a Bible to him.
That's all we got.
And you don't get to go like you used to.
No, right.
And you don't get to preach like you used to. But you got them young men of God that come sit at your feet. Come here, Ms. Brennan. Maybe your body don't do what you want it to, and your mind don't. But look at here, after all these years, sickness and in health, for better or worse, pastoring or not pastoring, preaching or not preaching, I'm glad there's another side, praise God. That looks a whole lot like goodness to me.
Woo!
Looks a whole lot like goodness to me.
Surely goodness and mercy
shall follow me. Hey, every once in a while, you might all just slow up and let that goodness and mercy bump into you. Hey, man, God's been good. Hey, you had some goodness preached Sunday afternoon when that grand boy walked behind that pulpit and preached. What is that? That's goodness. Shout her out, Mom. That don't make me one lick nervous. Matter of fact, I get nervous when that don't get to happening every once in a while. Amen. What about that goodness? That goodness and goodness and goodness. Amen, friend. John the Baptist got to looking at the one thing that God hadn't done, but he had all that kindness around him. Hey, Brother Sammy, come help me. Shout her out, glory to God, hallelujah. Come here, Brother, let me grab your dad for just a minute. Come here, Brother Sammy. Come here, children. Come here, Samuel, you stand right there. Come here, Brother Sammy, you stand on this side. Come here, Miss Kim, help me. Shout her out, I feel good about it. We like to quote that, clap your hands to the Lord. That next verse says, and shout, praise God. Amen. Miss Kim, stand over there with them. You know what? When they get up on that platform and they get a choir mic in their hand and Miss Kim plays, and whether they're singing in the living room or singing on a platform, you know what you're listening to? You're listening to the unadulterated goodness of God. Amen. You know what it was when she walked in the living room just a few weeks ago, about 8-9 weeks ago, and said, Daddy, I just got saved. You know what that was? That was the goodness of God. That was the grace of God Almighty, honey. Thank God it was the goodness of God, amen. That's goodness, Brother Sammy. That's goodness, Brother Sammy. And there may be a lot of things that he's not done, but look at what he has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Brother Jordan. There's a lot that he hadn't done. I wish my mom wasn't sick, but thank God there's a lot that he has done. Man, I wish I could preach it like I want to. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What is that thing in your heart that you've got focused on? And now you're in that dungeon. And now you're in that doubt. And while you're over here saying the worst about him, he's over here saying the best he has about you. Touch me again. The closest thing that I've ever felt to getting saved again was when my children got in. I mean, sometimes I wish I was holiness so I could get saved again. I mean, man, the greatest day of my life was not the first time in one of those basketball games when I took that ball and I reached up there and I dunked that basketball. The greatest day of my life was not when I hit the home runs in baseball or caught the touchdown passes in football. The greatest day of my life was not when I walked across a high school or a college graduation stage. The greatest day of my life was not when the most beautiful thing I've ever seen walked in the back of a church August the 19th, 1995. The greatest day of my life was not when I got called to preach. The greatest day of my life was a 13-year-old boy. They were singing, "Lord, lead my steps by the river that follow the way." I never did know for a long time what the second verse of that song was because I got saved on the first verse. And any time I listened to it, I got happy in the first verse and couldn't get to the second verse. But the greatest day of my life, Brother Jordan, was when I got born again. Amen. And there may be a whole lot that goes wrong, but that's one thing that'll forever be right. I wonder how many of us tonight, oh, let God tuck you in a little clift and let him walk some goodness by you. And what about that? With all of them gone, there's still one that's home. She didn't come to leave. She came to stay. I watched my boy drive out of the driveway for the first time by himself yesterday. And it dawned on me that in just a few years he'll be leaving for good. But there's a great day coming. And I wonder how many men of God that are discouraged tonight. I wonder how many preachers' wives. I appreciate them preachers' wives. Because them preachers' wives don't have a call. They're just trusting ours. And if I could quit at times with a call in my life, I wonder what they do without a call. Huh? I wonder how many preachers' daddies, preachers' mamas found themselves in a dungeon. I wonder how many saints of God in that place where the doubt's overtaking them. And while you're saying the worst about him, he's saying the very best about you. What a God. You might just want to let him come tuck you in the cliff tonight. Some of you daddies just ought to reach over there. Y'all just reach over there and feel what goodness feels like. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Why don't you quit lamenting over the three things that God hadn't done? And come let him remind you of what he's already done. I don't know, Brother Jordan, I don't know. You going to sing? That ain't in a lot of that ain't even an outline. And I didn't preach most, but I've tried to give you what God put in my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I probably put more pressure on myself. I don't want to let Brother Steve down. I don't want to let Brother Keith down. These men of God that have loved me. But I don't want to let the Lord down.
Touch maybe me if you'll come, again, Lord.
He'll touch you again if you'll let him.
We're standing all over the house. Your
why don't you
power.
Come, mind God? Why don't you let him tuck you in a cliff tonight and help you?
I need your strength, Lord, in this trying hour.
You said if I'd ask.
You said it.
Why don't you come let him pass some goodness by you?
I would surely receive. So touch me again, Lord. That's what I need. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again, Lord. Let your manna fall from on high. And wherever I'm going, you've already been. So I ask you to touch me again.
There's one thing about it. John the Baptist knew where to go. He won't force his help on you tonight.
Again, Lord.
You'll have to come.
I see that mountain. Touch me again, Lord. Let me feel your sweet fountain.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Let the heavens descend. So touch me again, Lord. That's what I need.